If you're sitting comfortably, then we'll begin. Well, hey there, fellow nerds and ne'er-do-wells, and welcome back to the Adventurers Anonymous podcast, the home of improvised fantasy fucknuggetry. Come join us week by week as a rotating cast of geeks sip cocktails, play Dungeons & Dragons, and seek a glorious death. Now then, you rejoin us this week as Raggy, Matt, and Chris all come together to continue in our adventures in the last leg of this campaign. So without further ado, grab yourself a drink, pull your chair closer to the fire, and come join us for this week's episode of the Adventurers Anonymous podcast. Please enjoy. Picking back up with the action. Last we left our intrepid adventurers, they had found themselves embroiled in a wedding procession. Still in the grips of grief regarding Cato, they had stumbled upon a wedding procession to a nearby village called Baden Knox, where a trendy priest called Amos Hawthorne had swept them along and told them that wedding celebrations for a newly married couple were happening in the village and that they were more than welcome to stop by for a bite to eat and a drink and to join in some of the merriment to help quench their sadness, if you will, at the loss of Belciar's companion, Cato, and even managing to find time to bury the poor bird. As the adventuring party slowly eased into the celebrations, Hanash taking himself off into the bathroom and resurrecting his connection to all that is evil. Corporate evil, that is, his sponsor, as he stood in the mirror and summoned forth Jerry, his sponsor, the demon who gifts him for his acts of depravity, chaos, and anger. And so Hanash said, "If this is what you want for me, give me an advance on my acts of rage." And so Jerry had gifted you a vial of poison, which you have taken back out to the celebrations. And last we left off with the adventuring party, Hanash was crouched by the grave of Cato, weeping openly. Tati was presumably propping up the bar, knowing him. And Hanash, you were standing with the vial of green poison staring at the wedding celebrations. You'd peeled off the label, I believe. And that is where we will pick up with the action.
I'm going to make my way over to Tati and grab a drink.
All right. Wine is a flowing. And mead too, if that is your tipple.
I'm going to grab a mead.
A foamy tankard of mead comes your way.
Tati holds up a glass, just like cheers.
I don't know, she's a bit overexcited and accidentally like spills some of Tati's drink when he like goes to like cheers him.
Whoa!
I go, man, I've got a job. We got a job.
Okay. What are we doing? Are we doing a heist?
No, but we are having mischief.
Oh, we should do more heists.
Well, next week can be heist week, I promise. I mean tomorrow in Game World. I mean real world.
Next Thursday, we
next Thursday, 7:45, we heist.
Can pencil something in around the same time next week. Next few days look a bit busy. Just kind of, all right. What are we doing?
Remember Jerry? Yes. Have you met Jerry? Do you know about Jerry? Jerry, my own personal confidant.
Confidant.
Correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure that I spoke to Jerry as part of, like, Hanash's performance review?
Yes.
Yes!
Yeah.
Oh my god, good memory. He came into your dream and asked, he did a 360 review, didn't he?
When Hanash says, "You remember Jerry, yes," and I go, "Yeah," he says yes a lot. He starts a lot of his sentences with the word yes. It's like a long yes.
That's the one.
Yes.
He wears that great suit and always looked like he was missing a wedding ring on his finger.
That's the guy. He married.
Dear Lord. Metagaming listeners.
Just a real wife guy.
Yeah, sure. So, I was like, hey man, I'm not a vampire, are we cool? And he was like, yeah, we're cool, but I need some chaos. And I was like, I like chaos. So he wants us to poison this wedding. Poison the wedding.
Natty walks up to you, behind you. She's like, hello! Don't know why she's become Mrs. Doubtfire.
No, Natty!
Natty pauses, a sad look in her eye. What do you say?
Tati's just going to look at Hanash and be like, sorry, who is this? Who is this person?
I am his paramour.
Ma'am, that's a bit forward. Is this person your paramour?
Yes, this person's my paramour.
All right, that checks out.
When you have as few days on the clock as I do, young man, you too would get as much green as you could.
Oh, it's so loud. Hanash, can you just do what you usually do? Can you just go with her?
Paramore, go to the Paramore corner. I'll be with you shortly.
Oh, I see. Would you like me to be a good girl? I can be a good girl.
Yes, be a good girl and go in that corner. Oh, I don't feel good.
Right you are. I'm fully expecting spanks later. As you see her hobble off on her cane to the corner. I will be waiting.
Tati sobers up. Any fun drunkenness that Tati had just like... straight out of him in that moment. And he's just like, Hanash, what did you do?
Oh, I guess now we know not to lick old people's hands, you know?
You are like catnip for old people. I don't get it.
Yeah, much like pneumonia and falling over, you are catnip for old people.
And falling over. Take
care. Wow. So I say to Tati, I kind of, for some reason, I've got a trench coat on now. Don't know what game. I'm guessing Dre put it on me. But like, I open up the trench coat and there's just like a vial there, like where like the Rolex usually would be.
Is that part of your boon? He gave you a fucking leather trench coat.
Or at least in Hunter's reality, this is what happens, where he's probably just like puts out his hand and like, look.
He thinks he's been really cool, yeah. Like being really suave with a cool trench coat, like. But he's actually just like, look, Tati, look.
Shh, we need to sneak this in to the booze, but I get disadvantages on my stealth checks. You're a very sneaky boy.
Shh. I put my hand up to his mouth and I go, shh.
Fuck me, listeners. How drunk is Tati?
I say, are you sure this is poison? Because there's no skull and crossbones on it. Usually poison has skull and crossbones on it.
I took it off for our anonymity. I swear to God, it had like six skull and crossbones on it.
All right, don't worry about it. Tati's going to get you all the boons. Tati's going to do it. Watch me. I'm going to take the bottle from him and I'm going to try and do like a bit of like close-up hand magic.
Oh, God.
To like make it disappear in my hand while I put it in my pocket.
All right, make me a sleight of hand check, please, Tati.
That's a 16.
God damn it. I mean, to call it magic is a stretch of the imagination. There's a point where it drops, you manage to catch it on the floor, and then it's pretty patently fucking obvious that it slid up your sleeve.
Yeah.
Whereas you almost do like a ta-da kind of moment to Hanash. He didn't kill anyone, best of all himself.
Hanash is blown away. He's like, you've lost it, we need it, man. We need to get it back.
I go, shh. I've got it. Got it, and I just like tap where it is on my wrist, and I go, I told you.
Make me a survival check, Tati.
That's a nat 20.
A nat 20.
You super survived.
Whew. As you've been handling it and the cork, sliding it around your hands, and then you're smearing your hands around your face, you get like a caustic taste in your mouth, which you instantly realize you're putting secondary poison into your mouth as you spit onto the floor. You realize how powerful this poison is. Even a tiny trace amount of it is powerful as you spit it out, your eyesight coming back into focus. You realize you need to be careful with this shit. It is potent.
All right, so the bottle, does it have like a stopper in the top? Okay. Can I look round on the bar? Can I look round for any bottles of booze that have got stoppers in the top of them and see if there's one that looks like it would be a suitable size to seal it properly?
It is sealed properly. It's. I mean, there's a secondary trace on it.
The outside is like a little bit sticky.
So someone didn't fill it with care.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's not stoppered. I'm saying, imagine this shit is ricin. It only takes a few fucking, like, you know, milligrams of the fucking stuff to kill someone.
I'll grab a bar towel, shove it in my other pocket so I can use that to handle the poison with rather than my own hands.
Nice.
One of those like little Carlsberg towels.
I know the one.
You know which ones I mean. Yeah.
Other beers are available, listeners. We're not sponsored.
They're already green, so hopefully the poison won't transfer the colour too much.
That's how poison works, yes.
Unless it's just bleach, in which case it might do. I'm going to take the bar towel and just like pocket it in my other pocket. I'm going to say to Hanash, leave it with me. Your boy's got it.
Let me know if you need a distraction or anything. I don't know why he's so drunk all of a sudden.
You're getting a contact high off of me.
Two things happen at this point, Hanash. You see Tati melt into the crowd, holding on to the vial of poison in a towel now. And as you spin around, you see old Natty Pike standing in the corner like a naughty girl. She just turns her head to you coquettishly and just raises an eyebrow.
I go over to her in the corner. Is it quite dark, this corner? Like, how can we, are we kind of obscured, or...?
No, not really. It's a busy hall, and it's not exactly a massive hall. People had just assumed she's having a quiet little moment with herself. She's one of the eldest people in the village. I'm going to leave you two just having a little moment. I don't know what you're getting up to. You can never think about it. But what I would like to do is to just pan over to Belsiar. I left you lying by the grave, weeping over your lost companion. What are you doing whilst all of this is going on?
I think I've let out a little bit of sadness, and there's a bit of kind of acceptance now that Kato's gone and beneath the ground, and we'll send some money to have a nice gravestone made for him. I'd like to find this hot young youth fester. I'm looking for some spiritual relief.
Okay, I like your mixed metaphors and innuendos. As you stand up, one of the first things that dawns on you is the beauty and privilege of the fact you've been able to cry as a vampire and being dead and cold and not really in need of any bodily fluids. Crying hasn't really been an option for you. So there is no sense of irony on you that actually this has been quite a beautiful, intimate moment, being able to cry, as you have got that wave of grief out of yourself. You prop yourself up, stand up, looking around the graveyard for the youth pastor. What you do see is, as you would call them, peanut butter and jelly, standing at a sensible distance, allowing you to wallow in your grief, as they're like, right, so now you're human, do you have need of us anymore?
Oh, but I do. You've been like the mother, father, brother, sister, son, and daughter I never had. you've been there for me on two separate occasions. I consider you like my own children.
I mean, if you want to role play like that, it is going to cost you extra.
Well, I mean, I can't promise. I'll tell you what, because today's a special day, I won't pay you, and you can consider it a day off. Go enjoy yourselves.
All right.
I mean, we're on retainer, so we got families, so you're going to have to pay us, or we are going to split.
Okay. Do I owe you anything right now?
Yeah, four gold. Okay. Four silver pieces. Apologies. Always hustling. Four silver pieces each a day.
Oh, PJ, what do you like? Wait, you're like PB, silver. Are you J or P? What are you like?
I'm Pete, he's Jeff.
I'll hand over the silver pieces and I'll say, take five, boys. Go get yourself some.
Much obliged. As they both respectfully walk over to the graveside, both of them dip their heads in respect to Cato as they melt off into the crowds of merrymakers, both pocketing their four silver pieces each. You look around. There's no one else really in the graveyard. You can hear the sound and the lights. You see the lights coming from the church hall, where a lot of the focus of the village is at the moment. It's got to evening again now, pretty much. It's early evening. You wander back over to the church hall. You stand in the entranceway and you can just see the dancing and cavorting and merrymaking. Yeah, you see, you know, people sitting at trestle tables, sharing food and laughter. You see people dancing. You see the married couple still dancing at the center of the dance. And you see a couple of people probably taking their first steps in relationships. You see awkward couples having their first dance. You see two men hiding in the shadows, sneaking an illicit kiss. You look around. Make me a perception check.
Let's see. Ooh, dirty 20.
Dirty 20! You would recognize that combed back hair anywhere. It's got such volume and bounce to it. And the crushed velvet purple suit that he's wearing, you spot Amos Hawthorne, pastor, propping up the bar. He's facing away from you, talking to the barman. I say bar, it's just a trestle table with some bottles on it, but there are servers.
I don't have any hair as a crocodile, so I run a comb through my hair anyway. Put on the old Mia Vestelieric swagger. And head on over and just lean on the bar and like, thanks, Doc. Thanks for burying my crow.
You walk into the scene with your big dick limp as you swagger up to the bar, just propping up the table as you just fully insert yourself into the conversation he was having with the person serving beers. As he spins around, he's like, oh, yeah, no problem. You know, always happy to do the All Father's work.
Tell me, are you God's bride in a sense, or is there a Mrs. Amos?
Wow, you're not even being subtle. I mean, make me a...
The time for subtlety was three familiars ago.
Yeah, he's living every moment he gets.
Make me a pure charisma check, please.
Charisma? Oh, yeah. That's a six.
A six. He seems quite affronted. You've put your hand on his hand as he just slides his hand from under yours. And just takes a step backwards as he's like, well, no, not as such. No partner, you know. Kind of just do the All Father's work, really. It's a full-time job.
I'm sorry, perhaps I came on too strong. It's a difficult time. I'm full of grief.
Oh, that's all right, as he walks back forward and puts a hand on your shoulder. I'm always here if you need someone.
Thank you. This is awkward. What you drinking, partner, buddy, daddy, buddy?
He looks down. He's got a glass of wine as he's like, ah, this is from the Gregordian orchards.
I've never been to Gregordia.
It's beautiful. Oh, it's a subtle one. It's got like warm spices, peppers, and just a hint of birthday cake. Yeah, you know, it's complex. Complex.
Delightful. I'm something of a connoisseur myself.
He hands it to you. Have a tipple.
Is this actually in the backstory somewhere? I swear there was like a wine tent at some point.
Wine what?
Like a wine, a tent of wine. Never mind, maybe I've imagined that.
I don't think so. What I'm wondering here, listeners and Matt...
A tent of wine!
Fuck does, how does a crocodile actually drink delicately? Because your mouth is about 2 foot long. Do you have to lean your entire snout back and pour it in the middle? Or do you pour it in from the side or the tip? Wait, how does a crocodile drink a glass of wine?
It's a very good question. I would say normally through a straw. Just a plastic cup and a straw.
Oh, okay. You snatch a small straw off a child out of their little, like, cup as you put it in his wine and just sip away. Yeah, you do definitely get all the warmth of the spice, the peppers. Definitely a weird aftertaste. You see what he means now? It's got this kind of... almost Victoria sponge and cream.
Hmm.
And just like a weird waxy aftertaste. It's, yeah, definitely birthday cake. Yeah, okay, so you're chatting this man up. Are you coming on to him?
I don't know. I don't know what Valsia wants.
Tell you what, I'm going to roll. I'm going to roll for him. He's on the fence, Belciar. You can see him warming to your advances, but at the moment, he's merely tepid.
Can I down the nearest unfinished drink? There must be like a stage I can hop on and start singing ill-advisedly.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just grabbing the nearest drink. I mean, I guess make a sleight of hand check.
Let's see. Six.
Six. You see a young couple who seem to be very much in love giggling with each other, and as one walks past, you just swipe a glass of wine out of their hand. As they're so in love and giggling, they just laugh at you. As you knock back an entire glass of white wine, and you see the stage where the folk band is singing, you see a three-piece folk band playing away. One on a snare drum, one on a lute, and one on a triangle.
I'm going to run up and I'm going to say, do you boys know how to play Hall & Oates? You make my dreams come true.
No, 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 you massive bell end. I am not getting us cancelled and or sued again, all right? Fucking Hall & Oates.
That's the band lead. They're just like, no.
I swear to fucking God. If I get cancelled one more time, what do you want to play?
Someone at this wedding is recording, so we're not playing Hall & Oates.
Yeah. They don't have a PRS license at this fucking...
I'd like to sing upbeat, public domain, 80s pop love song.
Okay, yep.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday is in the public domain. You can have that. You can also sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
And read Winnie the Pooh and sing Happy Birthday to celebrate this new world of public domain materials.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, you play a public domain song. Make me a performance check, please.
Come on. 10.
10. It's shit, but the enthusiasm is welcomed by the crowd and people are lapping it up. Tati, you notice this as you're melting through the crowd. You look up at one point, shaking your head at the buffoonery and the fact that your colleague is drawing such attention to himself, and then you look down at the vial of poison in your hand and you realize this may well play into your plan.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
It's 1988. Do you know where your children are? Sneaking out of detention again. Playing that evil new game, Dungeons & Dragons, that your friends on the PTA warned you about. Arguing amongst themselves. Battling monsters and the other children at school. Guiding a herd of goats into a swimming pool. And arguing amongst themselves. Find us wherever you listen to podcasts. Dungeon Calling.
Who buys a possum?
Well, that's what I was asking you.
Dungeon Calling.
As we pan back to Tati.
I think I'm gonna... Okay. Gotta think about this. Where are the drinks being set up? Is it on the bar? Is there like a punch bowl type thing? Like a communal reservoir?
Make me a perception check.
Ha-cha-cha-cha. 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 21.
21. That's pretty good. You see four trestle tables, yep. Two of them are at a right angle, perpendicular, if you will, to the other two. So imagine like a corner with two trestle tables meeting another two trestle tables in a line, making a corner, yeah. The ones on the left are piled high with food. All sorts of food. There's roast porks, breads, cheeses, meats, pickles, relishes. There's just all sorts of things. And various roasted vegetables. And on the other two trestle tables, which are kind of perpendicular to them, you see all sorts of drinks. Mostly, predominantly, wines and meads for the adults and kind of like weak juice for the kids. And the younger and the more like sober of the party. And you do indeed on a 21 see... a punch bowl. You see a giant wooden, almost half barrel of punch, which clearly has some sort of highly fermented and mixed drink in it with various segments of fruit floating in it, and a man with a giant ladle who's just dolloping it into open cups as people come towards him.
Okay. I'm going to go over to the punch bowl and try and put my back to, like, everyone. If I can see Hunash... in a corner, I'm going to try and like give him a subtle like eyebrow tweak just to let him know that this is the moment. And I'm going to like turn around at the punch bowl so that my back is to everyone, and I'm going to take the bottle.
Except the man. There is obviously a man on the other side of the punch bowl with a ladle.
Oh, so there's a man there. Okay.
Yeah. You can face away from the crowds, but there's still a man with a fucking ladle and a pinny staring at you with a big smile on his face, waiting to give you a big dollop of punch.
Oh, cool. I'll ask for two glasses.
As you enthusiastically ask him for better, he's like, oh my, you look like a man who could do with a drink. He hands you two horns of punch in these beautiful animal horns as the rich and vibrant punch fluid is spilling over the top. So enthusiastic is he that he has filled the horn to the brim as he hands you two horns of punch.
Thanks, pal. When do you get off? You gonna go out for a smoke break?
Wow. I guess make me a persuasion check.
I'm going to say I'm pretty sure my religious friend over there has some religious hallucinogens if you're in the market.
Make me a persuasion check, Mr. Tatty Bojangles.
7.
He looks at you and he's like, I'm not much of a man for the edibles. More of a bacchanalian, if you will. Prefer the wine.
Ah. I'm going to look around at the bottles of wine that they've got on the table. What's the selection like here tonight? Have they sprung for the good stuff?
Oh, why, yeah, it's a wedding. Some of this stuff's been, you know, in people's cellars for years. There's a bottle of old musky scent over there, which I think Dwenda has had in her fucking cellar for about 2 generations.
Oh. Between us, is there anything in the wine cellar that's a little bit of a more special vintage? Something that you've been saving for a while?
I've got a few numbers I keep, yeah. I was waiting maybe for the birth of a child or a bumper harvest.
Okay.
Why you ask?
You're not tempted to get in there and crack one open? It's a special occasion.
Make me a persuasion check, please.
A gesture to the crowd. That's a 6.
6. He's like, no. I mean, you know, people get married and whatever, you know. I'm not particularly close to the bride and groom. They're all right. They're new money. Fucking came from the city. Fucking tourists.
Oh, new money. I get it. I mean, I'm new money myself. I'm still getting used to it. But it's the adventure in life. I can't get used to it. I still prefer sleeping on bedrolls in the middle of the woods.
Oh, I do love an adventure. I miss the adventure in life. Unfortunately, I got the craps on my knee. It don't work so well anymore.
That's the new arrow to the knee. And I got the craps. I got the craps on my knee.
I got the craps on my knee.
I got the craps.
As you look down, you see he's got a peg leg. As he's like, when I say I got the craps, I mean it got bitten off by an owlbear.
Okay. I get you.
Can I perceive like how this is going for Tati?
Yeah, sure. Make me a perception check. As you are heavy petting Natty, as you and Natty are getting into the thick of the action, it's literally like wet leather. As you look over at your friend, I need you to make me a perception check.
I got a 12.
You kind of get glimpses of Tati through the crowd, and every so often somebody walks past, or Natty pulls your chin and pulls you back in for another slurp, and you sort of look back across and you sort of see Tati. Tati's doing that kind of weird thing where he's enthusiastically talking to someone, but he's also sort of dancing on the spot. He's getting pretty hammered, to be fair. He seems to be holding 2 horns of drink in each hand, like a horn in each hand.
Do I notice the guy's peg leg?
What did you get?
A 12.
Nah, not really, no.
Okay.
I'm going over to Hanash anyway. I got 2 drinks, so I need to give him 1 so that I can keep dancing enthusiastically with 1 hand. I'm going to go over to Hanash, and I'm just going to, like, walk to his side, like, the opposite side from Natty, and I'm going to, like, press the horn into his chest. And then I'm gonna just whisper to him. I'm gonna say, "We're splitting this fucking boon."
Do you mean the boon's the poison? We will split the next boon. I'm sharing this boon with you now.
Yeah, I mean we're splitting whatever you get from fucking corporate fucking evil corp. We're fucking splitting.
If you don't want part of this, I can do it. I just thought you were cool, you know.
No. I'm your man. I've got the magic. I've got it. Look at me. Look into my eyes. I literally lean into him and I whisper, "I am the boon."
That's the name of this episode of everyone. I am the boon.
I'm going to start dancing.
I put my drink down, I take his drink off him, and then I slap him. I'm like, "We got a job to do. No more dancing for you."
Okay.
As Natty walks in and takes both of your hands and is like, "Oh, we have a job to do, do we?"
"Yeah, baby. Got a job on my hands with you, and I."
I go, "Hanash. Hanash, we didn't see it all this time. Nettie.
Natty!
Shh, Nettie. Nettie. She's the secret weapon.
Yeah?
She's going to be the distraction that we need.
I'm not 100% sure I'm on board with this.
Nettie, in my eyes, right here.
Come on, Natty. Right,
Natty.
Tatty. Now that's me.
Okay.
I point at myself in three different places like this. And I go, Honash is going to split you like a log. I go, shh, you are gonna know pleasure like you have never known it before. But he needs you to do a job first. Not the job you're thinking of. No. That comes later. We've got a job to do first. But this is the best drunk acting I've ever done.
This is superb.
This is good. This is good.
You're like our inside woman. You're going to clinch this whole job for us. We just need you to distract that guy. And I point at the guy by the punch.
She takes all of this in with a calm clarity as she looks at you after a moment and says, "So," and she looks at Hanash, "here's the bull and I am the vixen. But what exactly are you in this menage a trois?"
I'll look at Natty. This time I don't whisper it. I do say it quietly, just to her. I just say, "I'm the boon, baby."
Make me a persuasion check, please, and you can have advantage for your slutty antics.
Not another one of these fucking sixes, though. No. No.
One roll. Nat 20.
Nat 20. She looks at you for a moment and then lays a hand on your chin and raises it up to her, and she says, "My, my, my. Tonight is going to be wild." She says, "What would you have me do? Distract that man?"
If you can get him away from the punch table, that would be splendid.
You see old Natty Pike, who is old. I mean, if she isn't pushing 90, she's heading in that direction. As you just see her just slowly push the side of her garment off her shoulder, as you see the wizened husk of her collarbone, as she just walks over to the barman. You can't hear her at this point, but you see her just swipe a leg and kick his peg leg out from underneath him. As she catches him in her arms, she whispers some sweet nothing into his ear as he's on the fence. She needs a bit of talking, as he's not overly won over by this, but after a bit of cajoling, and you see her pull something out of her pocket and flash it at him as he nods vigorously, and you see them abscond from the hall. She turns her head as she goes and winks at the pair of you.
While this is happening, can I do a sleight of hand to pour some of the poison in Hanash's drink?
Yes, sure. Tati, make a sleight of hand. Hanash, make me a perception check.
He wants the boon all for himself.
I got a 20 again.
No, I got an 8. I don't see shit.
Yeah, Tati, you unstop her, the vial, and just pour some into Hanash's drink. Hanash, you do not notice.
Okay, take a drink.
Okay, taking a good glug of it.
Once I've poured it in, I am going to try and knock it out of his hand.
Okay, sure, I mean...
Just while I'm dancing. Just, like, elbow it out of his hand or something. It definitely wouldn't be my elbow because I'm tiny, so it would definitely be my hand.
It's more like a header. You're like a fucking, like, leaping, heading the mug out of his hand. Hanash, I'm not even going to make you oppose that. As it's dashed out of your hand, you see your drink spill across the floor. It has a weird kind of caustic smoke billowing off it.
Dude!
Sorry, bud. I gotta go put the thing in the thing.
Go put the thing in the thing. It's boon time.
It's boondogging time. I dance my way up to the punch bowl.
And as you get there, you see there's a couple in front of you who are looking around. They can't see anyone, so they're just ladling punch into their own horns. You wait patiently behind them.
I'm still dancing.
You see them spin around as they're like, hooray, hooray. How are you doing? All right?
Yeah, good, man. I'm just vibing.
Okay. That's good. As they just go their ways, you just find yourself in front of the punch bowl.
I'm going to grab two glasses and I'm going to pour the entirety of the bottle of poison into one of them and then pour just some regular punch into the other one. I'm going to hold them both up like this without turning around from the punch bowl, and then I'm just going to go and just pour the poison in.
This is going to be like a Princess Bride situation.
Into the punch bowl.
Yeah, into the punch bowl. Yeah. As long as there's still a decent amount of punch in there.
It's a lot of punch. Are you trying to do this by stealth?
I mean, yeah.
All right, make me a sleight of hand check then.
12.
A 12. You're trying to be sneaky while still dancing around, vibing away as you pull the cork out with your teeth and just pour it in. Some of the poison splashes down the front of the punch bowl and you see it sizzling as, you know, the contents all goes into the punch bowl, and you take the ladle and just swill it around.
The ladle comes back up and it's slightly corroded from the poison.
You're just holding the handle of the ladle. There's now no, like...
I hold the handle and I throw the ladle away.
It's just all organized.
You just yeet the ladle across the dance floor to a cheer from the crowd.
I'm just going to melt away into the dance floor with my single glass of untainted punch.
Or full of poison.
Yeah, I was going to say, as you sniff it, you definitely give it the sniff test to make sure you haven't got the wrong one, but you're pretty sure it's just punch. As Hanash, you see all of this happen, as you a giddiness and a giggle comes upon you as you see what has happened. We pick back up quickly with Belciar. You are entertaining the masses. Any particular numbers you want to be doing, or are you doing magic? What are you doing, Belciar?
Just public domain love songs. Just, I'm so in love with you, girl, you make me feel I'm not so blue.
Okay, make me a performance check, please.
Fuck you, Hall & Oates. Could have been you.
Could have got some free exposure to Gen Alpha.
Wow.
Natural 20.
Whoa.
Natural fucking 20. Now, time goes on. Belciar, you were slightly G'd up by alcohol at first when you took this on. And although you are not necessarily a natural singer and performer, some of your years of stage training as a children's party entertainer kick in, and you manage to win the crowd over with a number of... Well, you ebb and you flow and you try different things. You try some progressive dance numbers and they don't really catch and the crowd starts thinning out. And then you single into love songs, specifically public domain love songs.
Hey, you.
I will auto-tune that if you keep doing it.
Hey, you. The thing that
really catches the crowd is the fact that you light your fingers up using thaumaturgy and just wave them backwards and forwards, and people really start losing themselves in the moment as first the bride and groom come to the front and just have a slow dance, just embracing each other, kissing, and then one by one by one, the younger and the older relatives and well-wishers come and start dancing as the crowd just sways back and forth to the rhythmic beat.
the backing musicians behind you, the lute and the snare drum and the triangle, just improvising to your songs, just making merry, beautiful, romantic music as the crowd is lost to your rhythm. And it is that way for quite a while, maybe half an hour, as you look out at the crowd, just you're just inspired by what you've done here. Like, this is a level of entertainment that you've barely managed. Usually someone gets injured in your magic shows, but really here you look over at couples who are kissing, and in particular you look over a young couple who seem to be stealing their first kiss on the dance floor, and you're really warmed by this. It really does make your heart sing as you see they come away from their kiss, and the girl raises a hand to her lips and moves it away. She has something wet and sticky on it. As she looks down, she realizes it's blood. As she looks at her partner, he has a slow trickle of blood coming out of his mouth. As he turns slightly white, he doubles over, vomiting blood up onto the floor. As you hear the first scream, as the crowd start moving away, another scream comes from another side of the dance hall. As another person retches up, a fountain of bright red blood.
No.
And then another.
Not again.
And then another. And then another. As surely but slowly people drop to their knees, just vomiting up fountains of crimson blood. At its climax, at its very peak, maybe half of the dance floor is writhing on the floor, just lying, holding their stomachs, the floor slick with red blood, as people are running in all directions, panicking. As you look up across the sea of dying people, you just meet the eyes of a half-orc and a gnome standing at the back, holding a drink, just swaying to the rhythm.
If Tassie was in the dance floor when this started happening, and once there's enough people on the floor, like, looking motionless, Tassie's just gonna, like, pretend to pass out on the dance floor with them.
I am the boon.
I'm the boon. Tomorrow I'll be super hungover.
As Belcia, we're going to end this episode with you going from the peaks of happiness and joy, having lost yourself in the moment, in the music, in the merriment, to the sudden cold snap of realization as you see your crowd are dying, poisoned, flailing on the floor, flapping around in puddles of crimson, as you look over at your two friends lying prostrate on the floor. That is where we are going to leave this week's episode, listeners. That was madness, listeners. Genuinely was not where I thought that episode was going to go at all, but I'm happy to go where you take me.
Can I quickly note, as I step off the stage, I look at one of the roadies and I'm like, boy, I really killed out there, didn't I?
He's looking sheet white. As a trickle of blood comes out of his mouth and he just collapses sideways.
Just like a single tear runs down from his eye and then a single trickle of blood comes out of his mouth and then he just dies.
All right, listeners. Jesus Christ. Ugh. That's our very own Red Wedding. Fuck Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I'm into it. I thought maybe I should warn my colleagues not to drink the punch.
I mean, I was thinking that as well, but
this does raise a lot of questions for Tati's morals. Tati has gone massively out of his way to rescue an entire community of goblins from slavery, and within but a narrow course of time has turned himself into one of the most prolific mass murderers on the Western seaboard.
I was already one of the most prolific mass murderers on the Western seaboard, baby.
Fucking hell, listeners.
This time's only different because it has wedding bells.
You really do hate romance, don't you?
They were too happy.
Like, I've never felt more sober than when I've acted drunk. It is the wildest thing.
Do you know what, listeners? If ever there has been a time, and, you know, we'll do a proper sign out to this, but I want to hear what the listeners think of this. Seriously, like, I can barely get my head around this new side to Tati. Hanash, I always knew, was drawn to anger and violence. And Tati, though, I thought he was a nice man. And it turns out...
I'm dancing.
We've been fooled, listeners. Hundreds of episodes later, we've been fooled.
I'm dancing, baby.
He's throwing ass.
I'm throwing ass, baby.
I can't move for ass.
Up and down this so barn.
Where eye protection? There's ass everywhere.
there's just like rays of light from that ass.
All right, listeners, we have to say goodbye to you. I don't want to say goodbye to you, but I'm really scared of what we've created here in Tati, and I think we should just take this opportunity to run and hide, quite frankly. But seeing as you've made it this far, listeners, please, 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 please consider hitting that subscribe button, and then you'll never miss another episode of this nonsense ever again. Better yet, I want to hear what you've got to say about this, so your feedback would be much appreciated, whatever podcasting platform you are on. Leave us a 5-star review. If Mass Murder doesn't win us a 5-star review, I'm not sure what we have to do. So, yeah, come let us know in the reviews on whatever podcasting platform you are on. Let us know what you think. If you fancy chatting to us about anything you've heard across the course of this episode, your best bet is to get hold on us on X, formerly known as Twitter, before Elon ruined it. Or if you want to talk to the Danger Gnome himself.
Danger Gnome!
Danger Gnome! Danger Gnome! Get yourself over to Instagram, where Mr. Neil looks after that, and you can chat to him one-on-one about his dissension into mass murder.
Any time of day.
Yeah, come fight me. Whenever you like. I'll be here.
That just leaves time for us to say a huge goodbye from a man who seems to be dealing with grief quite well, Mr. Matt Durant.
Bye.
Your singing voice. What on earth was that?
Bye.
There we go. It's a massive goodbye from a man who's re-embracing his chaotic roots. Mr. Chris Rank.
Chaos reigns. Goodbye.
Yes. Yes. And it's a massive goodbye from a man who I'm having second thoughts about, listeners. I don't think I trust him anymore. It's Mr. Chris Neal.
Don't kink shame me.
Right. Mass murder is not a kink. I don't care what the fucking hell you say, right?
Could be.
Call me daddy all you want. Mass murder is not a fucking kink.
Don't kink shame me, daddy.
Who get on the t-shirt?
Dear God.
Listeners, have a look on our merch store for our exclusive Don't Kink Shame Me Daddy t-shirts.
Don't kink shame me daddy. You want to make it? I'll sell it. I'm not making a t-shirt that says Don't Kink Shame Me Daddy. If you want to make one, I'll sell it on our merch store.
Print it.
Dear fucking God. Right. Listeners, with any luck, we haven't scared you off, and we'll see you back here next week. Happy adventuring, my friends. But remember...
Don't
daddy.
Who said daddy? Who said daddy? Fuck you all. Fuck you all. I've had enough of this. Quite frankly, listeners, I don't get paid enough for this shit. I'm out of here. Goodbye. It's over. I need therapy. The end.
Can't believe we recorded our first 4-hour episode with just 2 hours of AJ complaining and ranting at the end about being called daddy.
Not your daddy. Not your daddy.
Not my daddy.